Good morning. It's great to see everyone this morning. I have to confess, I am a bit emotional, realizing that this is my first Sunday sermon here in New York since Sarah and I moved here 10 months ago. Welcome to the Brooklyn region of the New York City Church of Christ, especially if you're visiting with us this morning. We're very thankful that you're here. You know, for the last 18 months, we've been having service via YouTube, the whole New York City congregation. And I'm very thankful that we had that platform. And now starting today, we're all back in our regions and worshiping God together. It's exciting to see everybody online this morning. And again, I want to welcome you back to church. Next Sunday, we're going to have the same format via Zoom. And then in 2 weeks, God willing, we're going to be back at 88 Hanson Place at 11 o'clock for Sunday service. We're asking us to please get there early, around 10:15, 10:30, so that we can go through the welcome thing and we can make our way into the sanctuary and have a great time of worship together. Please, if you intend showing up in person, we're asking that you inform your Bible Talk leader. So that we're trying to get an idea of how many people are going to show up. It's going to be a great, great time. Like we saw in the little video, the reopening video, we are going to follow the guidelines that the elders have given to us. We're going to be wearing our masks throughout the entire service, except for when we take communion. Again, we're asking also today that you continue to give your contribution online. That has been working very well for the last 18 months. And so we're encouraging us to continue to do that. So when we come back together in person on the 19th, we're not going to be taking up contributions. So please continue to give it online. If you have any questions relating to reopening, please text me or call me, or you can also text or call Peter Martinez and also Mike Facey. So if you have any questions regarding reopening, you can text any of us, myself, Mike, and Peter, and we'll be very, very happy to answer your question. We will also be providing a live streaming option where for those of us who are going to be at home and not comfortable yet to come mix with everybody, that's fine. There's going to be a live streaming option. And we're also going to have colored wristbands on the welcome table. And as you can see, we're going to take a temperature and then you'll pick up your communion. And then we're going to have these are three colored wristbands that you're going to pick one of them. And once you pick it, it's yours. Green, if you pick green, it means, okay, I'm comfortable with giving people hugs or other people hugging me. If you pick a yellow wristband, it means, you know, you're good for fist bumps. And if you pick a red one, you're saying, please don't hug me. Brothers and sisters, let's respect each other's personal space and don't take it personally, but we're going to have wristbands. And it will be yours. Keep it. It's going to be tremendous. Also, let's remember that no food or drinks are allowed in that building. And so please remember that. They're very happy with having us back. And it's because we follow their guidelines and their rules. And so please, when you come back in 2 weeks, you're not going to be allowed to bring in coffee or any kind of drinks into that building. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. I've titled my lesson this morning, A Time of Reflection. A Time of Reflection. In the last 20 months, it's been a challenging time for every single one of us. Some of us have contracted COVID-19, and I'm thankful that we've recovered. We've lost some brothers and sisters to this virus all over the New York City church, and may their souls continue to rest in peace. When we get back to 88 Hanson Place in 2 weeks, we're going to feel the absence of those brothers and sisters that have passed on. We're also going to feel the absence of those that have moved out of our congregation in the last several months. My comfort, even as we all come back in 2 weeks, is to realize that the disciples that have crossed over, they've gone on to receive their reward. And one day you and I will get a chance to see them in paradise. This morning, as we begin our service, we begin a new chapter in the history of our congregation here in Brooklyn. And this morning, I want to make two quick points. My first point is a time to give thanks. A time to give thanks. Like Craig read this morning, this is the day the Lord has made. We need to rejoice and we need to be glad in it. In Psalm 105, beginning in verse 1, it says, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. And you, his servants, the descendants of Abraham, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Brothers and sisters, we have a lot to be thankful for. God has seen us through a worldwide pandemic. Yes, it's not over. We're still in it. But God has kept us alive. We've never seen anything like this in the last 100 years. And here we are, we are alive. We need to thank God for life. We need to thank God for our families, both physical and the church. And we need to thank God for our loved ones. We need to thank God for our health and for nursing us back to health. You know, when I get sick, I usually get a cold. But when I get a cold, it knocks me down and lays me flat on my back for like a week. And I was thinking about this the other day. I haven't had a cold in the last 20 months. And I think it's because of, you know, the fact that, you know, we're still wearing our masks. And, you know, obviously I'm washing my hands every time I come into the house. And I'm going to keep that up because, you know, I want to keep even the cold at bay. But I'm thankful for my health. God continues to pour his grace and shows his mercy on us every single day. Brothers and sisters, we have a lot to be thankful for. Here we are. Next week, our kids go back to school. And teachers are going to be coming back into the classroom to teach our kids. I know it's been very challenging for many of us working from home and trying to, you know, teach our kids because everything has been online. It's been difficult. But despite all that, we have a lot to be thankful for. Brothers and sisters, this is not a time for us to be complaining or to be grumbling. If anything, it needs to be a time of thanksgiving. We just had a massive hurricane, Hurricane Ida, come through the U.S. last week and earlier this week. You know, we had a lot of rain pour down on us. You know, Wednesday night, stroke Thursday, some people lost their lives in New York and in New Jersey. Many had their basements flooded. I saw on the news that there were tornadoes in several places and people lost their homes. Some of the cars that got flooded and people had to bail out of the cars, they're still stuck on the highway, on the side of the highway. But you and I, we're still here this morning. We have a lot to be thankful for. And so I want us to really use this time to be very reflective. That in the midst of all this disaster, we need to be thankful. Remember when Job lost his family and his livelihood, in one day, what was his response? He says, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. May the name of God be praised. That needs to be our attitude as we start this new chapter in our lives, as we go back to our new normal. Because brothers and sisters, it could be a whole lot more worse. You know, in Matthew chapter 5 in verse 45, it says, God causes his son to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Material things can always be replaced, but life cannot. Yes, we've been in isolation all these months. I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful for you all. I'm thankful for this technology that, you know, in a few weeks, we get to see each other again face to face. You know, again, Sarah and I have been here 10 months and we still haven't seen the whole church. And so I'm looking forward to meeting you guys face to face. But in the meantime, I think you can pick up your telephone and call somebody. Thank God for them being in your life. Text them. Ask them how they're doing. Okay? Because thanking God is a command. Thanking other people is a command. It's not just a suggestion. You know, people in the military understand this concept. And they understand the concept of the chain of command and understand authority. You know, the other day we went on vacation and somebody was telling us that, West Point is just up there. And so we drove up there. We couldn't get to see the whole thing, but we went into, they have like a little museum there. And so we went in there and what struck me was how regimented everything is in terms of these guys obey the commands. When somebody tells you, when your superior tells you to halt, you need to halt. And thanking God, brothers and sisters, is a command in the Bible. And so we need to make sure that every single day, even as you're going about your day, that you're thanking God. You're thanking God that you can walk. You're thanking God that you can breathe. You're thanking God for your family. You're thanking God for your job. Let's not take God for granted. Let's not take each other for granted. All the words in the Bible were spoken by our commanding officer. The commands in the word are to be obeyed. And I don't know about you. I don't like being told what to do. I'm a proud person. And I struggle with pride. And so, you know, when somebody commands me to do something, my attitude is usually, you know, who is this person talking? But you see, in this case, it is God talking. It is God saying, be thankful, not only to him, but to other people. Very, very important. I want you to thank your Bible Talk leaders. These brothers and sisters have taken care of us the last 20 months, and nobody has paid them a dime. Are you thankful? How often do you call them up to even ask, bro, how are you doing? Sister, how are you doing? You know, it's not easy being a leader. They're all volunteers. I encourage you to write a note to thank them for their service. Thank people that have discipled you and have continued to help you. Again, I thank God for this technology. I don't know how we would have done church if this pandemic had happened 20 years ago. Because 20 years ago, Zoom didn't exist. I'm not even sure when Facebook came about. There was no Facebook live streaming. I don't have Facebook, so that's why I don't know. All right? But we need to be thankful for our church. We need to be thankful for the elders and all our regional leaders. It has been tough on everybody. I want to use this opportunity to thank Daisy Oguire. Sister, you have made our transition to New York City and to Brooklyn especially extremely smooth. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I want to thank Wally and Tara. I want to thank Mike and Shalom, for Michael and Paula, for Prince and Mahogany, for Tim and Jessica, for Darren Thomas, and all the teachers and Kids Kingdom video contributors for our worship team. You guys have been incredible the last 18 months. God bless you all. We thank you for everything that you've done and you continue to do. May God continue to bless you richly. Church, we need to be a grateful people. We need to be men and women that are expressive in our thanks to others. We can't take each other for granted. We cannot take God for granted. It's very important that you thank people often, and we tell them how we feel. You know, 2 years ago, I turned 57, and I wrote a letter to my late mother because I lost my mother at the age of 57. And it wasn't lost on me that, wow, this was the age my mother was when she passed away. She's been gone now for 29 years. My mother passed away 6 months after Sarah and I got married in Nairobi, Kenya. And so when I turned 57, I wrote her this letter. And it was a time of reflection for me. And so I wrote to her. And this is what I wrote. I want to share some of that with you this morning. Church, pardon me, I'm bearing my soul, okay? This is a picture of my late mother. And so on October 31, 2019, I wrote this letter to her. I said to my late mother, Sarah Olubunmi Adedoyinfua, it's been 27 years since you passed on. I miss you so much and it still hurts. God took you suddenly that I did not see it coming. Your passing really rocked my world because I loved you more than any human being at that stage in my life. I felt numb for many years, not believing you were gone. I look back now and I know God took you because it was your time to go. I am very grateful to be called your son. God used you to raise me up, and I could not ask for a better mother. You indeed led me to the point of being able to stand solidly on my own 2 feet. Without you, I wouldn't be sitting in this position in life. Thank you for your constant love and encouragement. You believed in me and taught me to aim high and achieve great things in this life. Thank you for sending me to America for college. Thank you for all the financial sacrifice. Many mothers wouldn't have done that, but you did. Here I am at age 57, an American citizen, a Christian with an incredible wife and daughters. I'm so thankful you had a chance to meet Sarah. She's a godsend, just like you were, into my life. It's been great being a preacher the last 31 years. I'm enjoying it, and God has been faithful. Things are tough at the moment, but I know my God is faithful and will see us through this time. I'm begging God to reveal to us our next move. My heart has always been to help the African churches, and I know God will not disappoint. Thank you for being an incredible mother and a trusted confidant. You were not perfect, but I still love you with all your flaws and missteps. No one is perfect, but you are the closest to perfection as a role model growing up. I'm still standing and fighting so that one day I get to see God face to face. In my life, the boundary lines are falling for me in very pleasant places. I shouldn't complain when I see what billions of others are going through, but not for the grace of God, go I. Sarah is doing well. She's a magnificent wife. I love her with all my heart and cannot imagine being married to anybody else. She's tough, focused, very loving, and an altogether wonderful human being. She's in good health, and I pray God continues to grant her many years of solid health as we both grow old together. Your granddaughters, Gina and Ashley, have graduated and looking for work in their respective fields. I am so proud of them. They each exhibit qualities that remind me of you. They are smart, caring, and loving young ladies. I could not have asked God for better daughters. I am going to miss them when they find jobs and move on with their lives. Continue to rest in peace, sweet mother. Know that the life you poured into me was not in vain. Your loving and grateful son, Dapo. Brothers and sisters, God has been good to me. God has been good to you. And this is the time to give thanks. This is the time to really reflect. This is the time to really take stock of what life is all about. It's not by accident that you are alive today. It's not by accident that I'm still here. And yes, we need to continue to take precautions because this virus is still here. But it is a time to really give thanks for all the wonderful things God has done for us. The second point I want to make very quickly this morning is a time to love. A time to love. In Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 34, I'm reading from the Passion Translation. It says, when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they called a meeting to discuss how to trap Jesus. Then one of them, a religious scholar, posed this question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? Jesus answered him, love the Lord your God with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, and with every thought that is within you. This is great. This is the great and supreme commandment. And the second is like it in importance. You must love your friend in the same way you love yourself. Contained within these commandments, to love you will find all the meaning of the law and the prophets. And so you may be asking this morning, where do we go from here as a church? We are going to love God like this. What kind of a church are we going to be? Jesus says the greatest commandment is to love God with everything that we've got and to love our neighbors as ourselves. It says, love the Lord your God with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, and with every thought that is within you. And then it says, you must love your friend in the same way you love yourself. This is the greatest and the supreme commandment. That's what we've been called to do. And so as we get ready to reopen, as we get ready to get back to our new normal, I want us to ask ourselves, are you loving God with everything you've got? Are you going to love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength? Everything within your fiber. You know, one of the things that this pandemic has done, believe it or not, is it's caused us to really take stock of our walk with God. And I want to encourage you to get back to your God, to draw closer to Him. And it's a day-to-day thing, where every single day, when you wake up, when I wake up, it's like you're still here for a reason. I'm still here for a reason. Spend awesome time with God on your knees. Throughout the day, as you're going about your business, continue to talk to Him. Spend time in His Word. Get in there. Because one day, we get to see God face to face. You see, if you can't love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength here, you're going to have a hard time when we get to eternity. Okay? Let me just break it down for you. It's not rocket science. You are going to have a really hard time if you cannot love Him with everything you've got now. What do you think we're going to be doing on the other side? It's all going to be about Him and worshiping Him. And yes, He's got a lot of great things in store for us on the other side, but it starts here. And all this is practicing for what's about to happen a few years from now. You and I need to get addicted to Jesus. Okay? I'm addicted to Jesus. That's my confession. Now, this kind of addiction, you don't need any kind of rehab. In anything, you need to get more into it. Okay? See, when somebody is addicted to something, it's very visible. So the question this morning as I'm asking us is this. Is it evident that you're addicted to Jesus? Is your light shining brightly? Are you going to allow your light to really shine? Even as you go back into your workplace, or as you go back to school. Very, very important. We've been called to love God and to have compassion on others. We're talking about a total devotion to God here. Devotion suggests something that's deliberate and calculated. It is not something defined by emotion. It means everything in my life is organized around God. It's a daily commitment to God. My thinking, my focus throughout the entire day. You know, athletes devote hours and hours to their training to perform at a very high level. And it bugs me personally when you see these professional athletes, especially basketball players, that can't make free throws. It's like, come on, man. We're paying you millions of dollars and you cannot even make free throws. Because all they have to do is continue to practice and practice and practice. And then the more practice, the better you're going to get at it. Damian Lillard is actually the highest, he has the highest free throw percentage shooting in the NBA, followed by Kyrie Irving and then followed by Stephen Curry. They shoot in the 90s. Okay? So the question I'm asking us is, the reason why they're able to do that is because they invested all this time perfecting that craft. How much time are you and I going to invest in our walk with God? How much time will we devote to our spiritual workouts? Very, very important. The trophy is earned in hours that no one is watching. And the question is, will you and I obey God? This is the greatest commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's not called the great suggestion. It's not called the greatest opinion. It's the great commandment. And that's one of the things I love about Christianity. It's not complicated. It says, love God, love other people. That's it. When we boil it down to those two things. Jesus said in John 14:23, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Our love for God is demonstrated in how much of the scriptures we are obeying. Now notice, Jesus never forces any of us to obey him. That's an individual choice we have to make. We all say Jesus is Lord. For some of us, we're young Christians. I'm looking forward to meeting you in a few weeks. We've had several brothers and sisters now who were baptized that we've never even met yet. So it's going to be exciting. But you see, individually, we all need to obey God. You know, you may have been a Christian 10 years and 20 years and 30 years. You still need to continue to obey God. It is in your obedience that your love for God is shown and is evident. I want to give you homework this week. I want us all to read and study out Deuteronomy chapter 28. It talks about blessings that come from God as a result of our obedience and curses that come as a result of our disobedience. And if when you study it out, you're going to notice that the list of curses for disobedience is twice as long. In other words, when you and I are not obeying God, we're just bringing disaster upon ourselves. God is not a liar. We need to get in there and obey God. We need to get in there and obey the scriptures. That's what love for God is. Spurgeon once said, you may think you can live without Christ, but you cannot afford to die without him. And so right now, we're going to partake of communion. We are going to partake of the bread that represents the body of Christ that was broken for us on the cross, and the fruit of the vine that represents the blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. And after that, we're going to have some announcements and a final song. And then we're going to go out into our breakout rooms like we normally do on Wednesday nights for a time of fellowship. Please don't log off. I want us to get back into practice and getting ready for when we see each other in person. Let's have a great time of fellowship when we do break out into our breakout rooms. And at this time, I'm going to pray for communion. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for sending your son Jesus into this world to die for us. We thank you, Father, for your mercy and your sacrifice. We thank you for being a God that does not treat us like our sins deserve. Father, please forgive us for all the times we've messed up and have not obeyed you and have not loved you with heart, soul, mind, and strength. Father, as we partake of the communion this morning, help us to be thankful. Help us to love you more. Help us to love each other more. And help us to be grateful for this incredible life that you've given to every single one of us. We love you, Lord. We ask and we pray all this in the mighty and precious name of your son, Jesus. Amen.